Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jores. We are pondering the future of the Green Bay Packers today. Both the future of safety Nick Collins and who the Packers might add in the NFL draft. Always fun to ponder the future, isn't it? Got a poll going on at the bottom of our live blog here on Railbird Central. I don't want to refer to any results quite yet, as the show has just started and people will be placing their votes as the show goes along here, and maybe I'll reference it a little bit later on. But it says, do you think Nick Collins will play football again? And your only choices are yes or no. And that's really the only choices you have, really. We're not distinguishing if this, then that. It's cut and dried. Yes or no, Nick Collins will play again, or no, he will not. We're not even going to distinguish, like, if it's for the Packers or if it's a year from now. It's just yes or no. Will he play again in a game? In a football game? In an NFL football game? I guess we can distinguish that much. But the whole reason this is a topic is, if you haven't seen it already, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel today published an article by reporter Tom Silverstein. Great reporter. As always, we've said that many times. He really focused on the medical aspect of Nick Collins' injury, the risks of returning, the possibility of returning. Several doctors, surgeons were interviewed for the article. And you know, it just really goes in depth as to, you know, what Nick Collins is facing. And, you know, here's the backstory. Everybody knows the story by now. I feel like it's almost, I shouldn't have to go over it. Nick Collins was injured in week two last season, hurt his neck, was prone on the field when he initially injured it against the Carolina Panthers last season, spent the season on injured reserve, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, obviously in the immediate aftermath of the injury, they're just, you know, worried about, you know, him, you know, regaining his strength, getting back to normal. And, you know, he spent the whole entire season rehabbing and all that. And now that the season's over, they're kind of at the point, okay, Nick, do you or don't you want to play again? It's not even so much that. Of course, he wants to play again. But is it a smart idea to be playing again? And there's the picture right now in our live blog of Nick Collins being carted off the field. Scary. Scary situation, no doubt about it, and a decision that, you know, certainly has been thought through very carefully, is being thought through very carefully by not only Nick Collins, but his family, the Packers organization, his agents, and that was what was supposed to happen this week. I don't know when, we don't know when, it never has been published, but as of last week, the report was that Nick Collins and his agents were to come to Green Bay, and presumably his family too, I don't know, but I know Nick Collins and his agents were coming to Green Bay. They were going to meet with the, you know, some of the important decision makers on the team, particularly general manager Ted Thompson and head coach Mike McCarthy. Now, if this meeting has already taken place, I don't know. Maybe it has, you know, and maybe it's still to take place today, tomorrow, Friday. All we know is it was going to happen this week sometime. And I don't know if we'll ever get comment as to, you know, what they say. Probably at some point here, I'm thinking at some point before the draft, we will have some sort of statement by Collins or his team regarding, you know, the nature of his future. Will he or won't he play again? Because it could impact what the Packers do in the NFL draft. They would probably like to know whether he'll play again. Then again, though, I mean, maybe this is such a delicate situation that they will continue to take their time with it. So it's really hard to say at this point where the Packers go from here and where Nick Collins decides to go from here. It really is. I mean, maybe they want more time to see how he continues to rehab and continues to see how much he regains his strength and coordination. I think it's said today in the article that Collins said he's regained his strength. You know, that's supposedly the, you know, coming from Collins, but you know, I guess maybe a doctor might have a different opinion. You know, maybe if he's only 95% back, you know, maybe that's not good enough. Maybe it's enough to just leave enough doubt that maybe he shouldn't play some more. But I got to tell you that here's the comment from Kyle Kuzno on our live blog. He says, quote, "I've thought all along that Collins was done, but parts of Silverstein's article has made me sort of change my mind." And that's really, you know, we're at the point right now, you know, that you read Tom Silverstein's article, and it's kind of encouraging in terms of Collins playing again. You know, listening especially to the analysis of the doctors, what they had to say, and they're saying, you know, if the surgery goes fine, everything goes well, you know, there's not really any increased risk Nick Collins will be at. But I mean, that's not a foolproof answer, though. There are extenuating circumstances, such as if he has stenosis, which, you know, I'm certainly not a medical expert myself, but something like a stenosis is a narrowing of the spinal cord or something along those lines. And again, I refer you to the article that was much more researched in depth than I can give you off the top of my head. But, you know, it did, I think, shed a little bit of a positive light on the possibility of Nick Collins returning. But, I mean, certainly examples were given as well of other athletes, particularly football players, who suffered injuries and did not come back, who did retire. So, I mean, there's that to think about as well. So, you know, right now we're just speculating, and who knows, maybe sometime this week, you know, by week's end, maybe a report will come out whether the Packers, you know, and Nick Collins decide his future. But again, maybe we're continue to wait here until, you know, the draft comes. And so we're really at the mercy of what they want to release, what either the Packers want to release or Nick Collins wants to tell the press. If they don't want to say anything, well, we kind of just sit here and wait. We just kind of continue to speculate, and it's been that way for weeks. You know, we've gone over this topic on this show many times. I mean, because it's an important topic. I mean, we're talking about a three-time Pro Bowler here for the Packers. You know, a three-time Pro Bowler and contemplating his future. So, and you know, of course, the Packers being a team that needs help on defense after last season's poor showing. So I mean, there's a reason this is an important topic, and we're, you know, getting to it time after time here. I see you got a question on the, from Twitter here, from the Packer fan. If you were Ted Thompson, you could pick anyone in this year's draft, who would you select? So I guess we're kind of getting away from the Nick Collins talk here, and perhaps maybe it's time. I'll just, you know, to everybody who's listening, one last request here. Please place your vote at the bottom of our live blog, if you're listening to the live version of the show and not the podcasted version. You know, do you think Nick Collins will play again, yes or no? Just place a vote, and I just want to see where people lie on this issue, whether or not you think he will play or not. So please cast your vote, and I'll reference the results a little bit later as we continue, people continue to you know, log in here to CheeseheadTV.com and continue to listen to the show. In the meantime here, we can talk a little bit of the NFL draft. And, just yesterday, I wrote an article, a blog post at Cheesehead TV about the odds of who the Packers will draft with their first round choice. And I made a couple of assumptions. You know, first of all, I assumed that the Packers will keep their pick at number 28. You know, it's impossible for me to, predict, if they trade up or if they trade down. So just assuming they keep pick number 28, I released some, odds off, odds I made up. But it wasn't without research, though. From the research I've, been able to conduct myself just through, tons of gathering of information, and I eat, sleep, and breathe the NFL draft as far as, we put out our own publication. I've done a lot of research, including interviewing prospects and things like that, and just looking at internet mock drafts and many of them, and just, trying to pick the brains of what other NFL draft gurus think about the draft and think what the Packers might do. We've had many of the people on this show from time to time. But, the leader in the clubhouse, the player with the lowest odds of being selected, I wrote down as Boise State's Shay McClellan at 4-1 odds, a 25% chance Shay McClellan is the next member of the Green Bay Packers if the Packers select at number 28 in the first round. That's just what I think the odds say. The next in order was something like, I think the next player was Michigan State defensive lineman Jarrell Worthy, saying like 7-1 odds. After that, it was Kendall Rias, the defensive lineman of Connecticut, 9-1 odds. After that, we were looking at Courtney Upshaw, the outside linebacker from Alabama. Who else did we have? Dante Hightower, the inside linebacker from Alabama, who might be able to play, outside linebacker as well. So Wisconsin's Peter Kahns, I think I had him at like 12-1 odds, saying like that. So those are the players I think who are most likely to be drafted by the Packers. So that they had the lowest odds. And then, of course, I had the field at 5-1 odds, 20% chance somebody who I didn't list, and players who maybe fit that category were Alabama safety Mark Barron, maybe LSU defensive lineman Michael Brockers, and who knows? I mean, the field, you just never know who the Packers could possibly might draft. So Ted Thompson is unpredictable like that. Now, as far as getting to the question, who would I pick? There are a couple players I really, really like if they happen to slip in the draft. I think perhaps the number one player I like is South Carolina's Melvin Ingram. The outside linebacker prospect who basically played defensive line in college, but has the ability and the athleticism to play outside linebacker, I think. I don't think he makes it to the Packers, but I'm telling you guys who I like who may drop. I really like Stephon Gilmore, the cornerback from South Carolina. I don't think he makes it, but I like him a lot. I really like guard David DeCastro from Stanford. I don't think he makes it. And the Packers don't really have a need for a guard, but I like him a lot. So, I was thinking in my mind, and this was kind of a crazy idea. What if a guy like David DeCastro slips? The Packers don't really have a need for a guard, but I think this guy's good, like could be the best guard in the NFL good. Maybe not right away his first year, but, just a guy who I think will be great. like all pro great. And I thought, wow, you know, what if David DeCastro slipped to the Packers by chance? You know, if you're going to take the best available player, he'd be hard to pass up. And on the live blog here, Kyle Cousineau says, no love for TJ Lang. And that's what I'm getting at. Think about this for a second. You know, just a couple years ago, Brian Bulaga drifted further in the draft than they thought. So this, you know, things like this are not out of the question. These things happen. Aaron Rodgers slipped all the way from potential number one pick all the way to number 24 in the draft. These things happen. But here's what where I come in, or here's what I'm thinking. Okay, let's play make believe here. David Castro slips to number 28 in the draft. I don't think he does, but let's pretend. All of a sudden, the Packers select him. And it's not that I don't have any love for TJ Lang, but how would you like this for a Packers offensive line, left to right? Your left tackle, moving over from right tackle, is Brian Bulaga. Your new left guard is David DeCastro. Your center is Jeff Saturday. Your right guard is Josh Sitton. And then TJ Lang moves over to right tackle, just like he did last year, when the Packers were hit with injuries, when Bulaga got injured late in the season, had to miss a game or two. You know, Chad Clifton was hurt, and Derek Sherrod got hurt. That's a pretty impressive offensive line there. Now, certainly there will be guys fighting for jobs. I mean, I kind of left Marshall Newhouse out of the equation there. You know, he'll be fighting for certainly one of the tackle positions, and maybe he's your swing backup tackle, the top backup at both right and left. And of course, there's Derek Sherrod too. He's kind of a wild card right now because we don't really know where he is in his recovery from, you know, the injury he suffered last year, the broken leg. Will he be ready in time for training camp or not? It's really hard to say, you know, where he's at. So, you know, we just don't know. But I just thought it was an intriguing idea. And, you know, the odds of this happening are slim. But those are a couple guys I really like. You know, Melvin Ingram, Stephon Gilmore, David DeCastro, I really like them. If they happen to drop, I don't know how you can pass them up. I really like Illinois' Whitney Mercilus. I know maybe he's not the ideal outside linebacker. A lot of people think he's better off staying at defensive end, but I really like what he did this past year from Illinois. He can rush the passer. He forced like 9 fumbles. I mean, he's just a playmaker, and I don't think you can pass that up. Now, that being said, I don't think any of these guys are going to be available. So, you know, among the guys who I think will be available, Shea McClellan, Kendall Rias, Terrell Worthy. If I had to choose right now, I'd say either Shea McClellan or Kendall Rias. You know, that's who I think the Packers will take. And I'm trying to come up with a mock draft here that I'm going to release sometime before the NFL draft in 2 weeks, just over 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from tomorrow. And I'll try to, you know, narrow it down and you know, pick one for certain. But we'll see. Trying to look at some of the comments on the live blog here. Got some questions as I scroll up here. Question from Frank Gervasi. Any thought on Fletcher Cox dropping to the Packers or trading up? I really do like Fletcher Cox as well, the defensive lineman from Mississippi State. I like him a lot. He's another guy I don't think will drop to 28, so the Packers would have to trade up to draft him. You can throw him in with the same category as Ingram, Gilmore, Mercilus, DeCastro, guys I really like, and I really like Fletcher Cox. He's a good pass rusher. As far as defensive linemen go, he might be the top pass rushing defensive lineman in this year's draft. There's probably a little bit of concern that he's undersized and will he be able to two gap. But you know what? From everything I've heard, from everything I've read, he's a really unselfish player and a guy who works hard. He loves to practice. That's what he told me at the NFL Combine, or that's at least maybe not me personally, but when I was at the press conference at the NFL Combine, just loves football, loves to work at it, loves to get better at it, and he seems like the kind of guy who is going to do whatever it takes to make the team better. So that's what I really like about a Fletcher Cox. That's why I like him and think that he could be, a future, draft choice of the Packers, or what they'd be looking for in a draft choice. Again, I don't think he's available because I think Fletcher Cox could go as high as the top 10 in the NFL draft or shortly thereafter. Could they trade up to get him? Maybe. We'll see. Comment from Red Lights on the live blog. I would be willing to go up to 22 for Devon Still. Interesting. Some love for the Penn State defensive lineman. Here we go. Comment from WalkerBlue63. Chad Clifton worth keeping around? ? That's a good question. I'm in the camp personally as to I don't think Chad Clifton is worth keeping around. I just think he's too old. He's been too injury prone over the course of his career. And I think the Packers have a lot of, good young depth at the tackle position between Brian Bulaga, Derek Sherrod, Marshall Newhouse, and probably only going to add to that depth in the NFL draft. Now, I don't know if they'll draft any more first-round offensive linemen. They've gone that direction two drafts in a row now in the first round. But, at some point, again, with 12 draft choices, there's almost, they're going to address almost every position if they happen to keep those 12 draft choices. And the odds that they draft a tackle at some point, I think, are pretty good. So, that could be one of the cases that, something like that happens. So, I think they cut Chad Clifton. I think you cut him. You create salary cap space. Mike McCarthy has said at the NFL owners meeting that they're going to wait to see his injury situation, how he recovers, how he comes back, that they want to decide that. And, I guess I can see where the Packers are coming from. If Chad Clifton comes back healthy, if he seems to, the surgery he had in the offseason alleviated some pain in his back, I guess I can see it. But I just think you have Chad Clifton. He better give you the best chance to win now. He better provide that. Otherwise, you're preventing guys from getting better, like Marshall Newhouse, like Derek Sherrod, and any rookies they might bring in. So that's where I'm at with Chad Clifton. I can understand what the Packers are doing, but they just better make the right choice. They better make the right choice, because if he ends up on injured reserve again, and that can happen to anybody, but it would be really disappointing if that were to happen. So, we're in the type of season here where it's all speculation. We get, like I said, the title of the show today was Peering into the Future, and that's what we're doing today. There's no right or wrong answer today about what the Packers will do either in the draft or what Nick Collins might do. But I'm taking a look at the results right now of the Nick Collins poll. Do you think he'll play again? Yes or no? And it's split 50-50. And it's I now know that it's not a case of two votes. You know, that we've been going on the air here for close to a half hour. So, you know, several people have now voted. And I see it broke the 50-50 deadlock here. We got 63% yes, 38% no. So now we're back up again to the people trending toward yes. Trending toward yes, Nick Collins will play again. You know, kind of an overrated or overlooked facet here in the whole Nick Collins situation here. I wrote another blog post yesterday at Cheesehead TV after the show if you want to check it out on the main page. The effect that Charles Woodson's contract may have on this whole situation, or the effect Nick Collins may have on Charles Woodson's contract situation. Charles Woodson is due a roster bonus sometime in the month of April. $4 million worth of bonus money. And we don't know exactly the due date of that bonus. It could have already passed. I don't think it has. The most likely scenario is that $4 million bonus is due in like 5 days, next Monday. Monday, April, what would that be? The 16th? Something like that. It's due the first day of the offseason workout program. If he's on the roster at that time, he will get $4 million. So the Packers have a decision to make here. Do they pay him the $4 million? And certainly they may. You know, it was part of his contract, and Charles Woodson isn't the type of guy you're going to cut, you know, at least not this year. I realize he's getting maybe to the end of his career, but they're not cutting ties with Charles Woodson quite yet. You know, or do they ask him to restructure his contract instead of giving him $4 million right now? Maybe they spread it out over the length of his remaining years on his contract, which is three more years. And, you know, in such a case, that would alleviate some salary cap room for the Packers. You know, depending upon how they structure it, it wouldn't count $4 million against the cap this year. Instead, it would be, you know, prorated over the length, over the remaining years of this contract, depending upon how they restructure it. But that could alleviate some cap room. There are other ways to create cap space. We just talked about Chad Clifton. Wide receiver Donald Driver falls in that boat as well. These are things that'll be happening, you know, in the future if they do happen, because bonuses for Chad Clifton and Donald Driver are not due until like July, August, September time frame. So that's kind of in the future yet. But there are ways to create cap space without having to restructure Charles Woodson's contract. But another kind of under the radar way the Packers can create some salary cap space is if Nick Collins retires. You know, all of a sudden, if they decide on Friday that Nick Collins is going to retire, which could happen, this isn't out of the question here, obviously. They could decide this by Friday. All of a sudden, the Packers are going to gain about between $3 and $4 million of salary cap room if he retires. So, you know, maybe if that happens, the Packers do agree once again, okay, well, maybe we can afford to give Charles Woodson his $4 million bonus now. Because the big reason for creating salary cap space is right now the Packers have about $3.5 million worth of salary cap space. Just about enough to sign the rookie draft class and any more free agents who are just minimum NFL contracts. You got to remember that only the top 51 salaries on the roster actually count toward the salary cap. So if you're signing guys for the NFL minimum, they're really not even counting against the salary cap. So, you know, there's enough room. Most of it's going to go to their first round draft choice, whoever the Packers take or their first pick, because that person will receive the most money. But after that,
You know, it goes to a little bit less toward the second round, third round, you know, decreasing accordingly. The Packers have enough room to get through this season. But really the reason they would want to create room is to extend players currently under contract. You know, if all of a sudden they can come to a long-term agreement with quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who still has 3 years left on his contract. But at some point, it could come to, you know, this point here where he's, you know, they want to lock him up for the long term. They could put some of his salary toward the season. That's why you would want to create salary cap space. You know, Clay Matthews falls in that category. Wide receiver Greg Jennings does too. So, you know, things to look forward to the rest of this week and upcoming weeks and throughout the off season. But that's going to do it here on Railbird Central. You know, make sure to come back on Friday, our next date that Railbird Central will be on, 8 a.m. Hopefully I'm going to have an NFL draft analyst join us on Friday. I'm working on something right now. I don't want to announce it yet just in case it falls through, or we just need to hammer out a new date or something like that. But anyhow, Jamie Joris says there'll be an episode of Cheesehead Radio tomorrow night with Pigskin Paul Guillemette talking NFL draft. I highly suggest that. Pigskin Paul Guillemette, he knows more about college football players than just about any person I know. Highly suggest tuning in for that. But on behalf of Jamie Joris, on behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Kirvu. We're out. We'll see you on Friday. I leave you with a song today called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psi Fidelity Records. See everyone. Go Pack. Go.